our times of prayer, we often share concerns, and today there were lots of those. The body of Christ is to share our praises. So, and there are days and there are Sundays that you have lots of praises to share as well. But what a joy and what an inspiration it is as we share the things that God is doing in our lives in wonderful and blessed ways. Coming to Acts and the church, and to talk about leadership, I'm going to read this passage from Acts, chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. And then we're going to talk about leadership. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May this place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time that Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen, the one you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry," where Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Leadership is important. Leadership is critical to what happens in organizations, to what happens in our lives individually. Someone who is going to set the pace. Leaders are people who set the pace. Now, you know, I love the Olympics. It's a great time of observing, watching people who are at the highest levels of the athletic experience and who have trained to come and do what they do. So, in this message, there are going to be a number of illustrations out of the Olympics that relate to leadership. In this first place, someone who's going to set the pace, a leader who's going to set the pace. In the Olympics, there's an event called road cycling, and it's bicycling, and there are all these guys that start this race, and it's a long race. And the way it works is that there are what's called pace setters. So there's this group of cyclers who set the pace for the whole group of cyclers. Now, these are cyclers who are good cyclers. They are together in this front group, and they set this pace that is moving forward. They set the pace with the understanding and knowledge that what they're doing is not for themselves, but it's for two or three elite riders who are going to win the medals. So what they do is they set this pace, they work at this pace, and there's the whole group that does that. There are individuals in that group. And within that group are there are these elite riders who eventually are going to move out of that group and go and win the medals. But what's interesting to me and what I think is important in relationship to leadership and understanding leadership is that there need to be pace setters. Pace setters who will be humble enough to say, it's okay, I know I'm not going to be on that leaderboard. I know I'm not going to get one of the medals, but I'm willing to do this to set this pace for this group and for these other riders who will eventually take those medals. Humility is part of leadership. We'll talk more about that later. It's also, leadership's important because there needs to be someone who sets examples for us, who sets the example of how we should live, what we should do. Again, I go to the arena of sports. How often in watching sporting events do you hear commentators talk about leaders within that team? Whatever team it is, whether it's football or baseball or swimming or whatever it may be. I think of Tom Brady, you know, won the Super Bowl this past year. Tom Brady is a leader. He's an example setter. What does Tom Brady do that makes him such a good leader? He's the first one to the gym every morning and the last one that leaves. He's a guy that has taken on a diet for himself that has allowed him to be physically what he is over 40 years of age. It's amazing. He sets an example for the whole team in relationship to hard work, preparation, as well as the physical training, the physical care of his body in terms of diet. He's an example. Leaders need to set examples for those who follow them. To be great followers, there need to be great leaders. To be great followers, we need great leaders. So the importance of leadership first. Second thing, the importance of group leadership. The importance of group leadership. The apostles wanted to fill the place that Judas had left. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about groups and leadership and what happens sometimes. Jesus selected these 12 apostles, right? These 12 guys that he was going to train, that were going to follow him for 3 years. That group of 12, Jesus selected those. What happened? One of those 12, Judas, betrayed him. I think one of the things we need to see and understand in terms of what happens sometimes where people fall out, okay? Where leaders become something other than they should be, that they become something that they haven't been trained to be, that the example they didn't get for some reason. Now, we know that Satan came and moved Judas into that role. But Judas had a choice. He didn't have to follow that he was drawn into. And yet he did. So I think one of the things we need to understand, you know, if there's someone in a group, a church, a business, whatever, who turns on the leader and who walks away, you know, it happened to Jesus too. So it doesn't just happen in earthly kinds of contexts. It happened to Jesus. Well, but the importance of group leadership, the apostles saw that, and they needed to select someone to take Judas's place. There are two things that I want to comment on in relationship to group leadership. Number one is the wisdom that a group can bring. As an individual, I have a certain amount of wisdom that I've gained through life experience, through training, through education, etc. I have gained certain things in terms of wisdom. But I only have that box of wisdom that is mine. So, when it comes to leadership, great leaders gather groups of people around them who they empower to become leaders themselves. Why? Because great individual leaders know that they need other people's wisdom beside their own. So, in the church, we have a church board. We have a board for Christian life. We have groups of people that we designate to help us have more wisdom than one person can carry and help us to make decisions that are good decisions for all of us. The second piece of group leadership that is really critical is the whole area of accountability. The accountability of the group for the single leader, the accountability of the group for each other. And that accountability happens as every person in that group, whatever it is willing to speak honestly and openly and willing to share the role of leadership and the responsibility of leadership. A great leader sets the standard for the group by preparing soil of openness and honesty in which everyone in the group shares and everyone makes decisions. Now, I want to talk about qualities of leaders. Qualities of great leaders. First of all, number one, a great leader, from our perspective in the church and Christians, is a person of deep and sincere faith in God and the truth of God's word in the Bible. First quality that we need to look for in a leader is someone who has deep and sincere faith in God and the scriptures. You say that's a given. Well, it should be a given. It should be. It isn't always. I'm lifting that up as a first responsibility and priority in terms of a leader. One of the things that the scripture talks about is that young Christians should not be placed in roles of authority and leadership over others. Why? Well, because they haven't had long enough to be tested. And the scriptures we read here are going to identify that after a bit. So, number one, deep and sincere faith is the first quality. The second quality, they need to be persons who are growing forward. Okay? Leaders need to be people who are growing forward. Jesus is our example of that when he was just young. You remember that Mary and Joseph took Jesus and went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And they went into town. Jesus found the temple and started interacting with people there, with the scribes and the Pharisees. And it was a great time. And Jesus forgot all about his parents, and his parents forgot about him. His parents left for home. And you remember, Jesus wasn't among them, so they had to go back and get him. Well, when they got home from that trip, this is what the scripture says about Jesus. It says, Jesus grew. Okay? An important word. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. One of the things that I've heard all of my life, one of the things that Myron, my 7th or 6th or 8th grade teacher, I don't know, which grade did you teach me, Myron? He forgets too. It really doesn't matter. But Myron and other professors and teachers that I've had and other people have said, Dale, you need to think of yourself as a lifetime learner. You've probably heard that, haven't you? We all need to think of ourselves as lifetime learners. We need to think of ourselves as people who are growing forward. I'm kind of amazed at Randall and Lyle. They have had to be lifetime learners as farmers. And Lyle, I'm amazed. You know, you talk about tearing machines apart and these computers that you put in and take out, et cetera, et cetera. And all of you farmers, Dennis, you probably know this too, you've been involved. It's, man, I'd be lost. But you have continued to grow forward. You've continued to grow forward in the learning process to do what God's given you to do. That's where all of us should be. It doesn't matter what profession you're in. It doesn't matter where you are. You need to be growing forward, learning more all the time. That's one of the qualities of leadership that we need to look for in leaders, lifetime learners, people who are growing forward. A third thing here. Leader needs to be a person with great relational skills. Again, the same passage that we just read about Jesus. Jesus grew how? He grew in wisdom and stature. And then it says this, in favor with God and men. Great leaders need to be people who are great with relationships. Teachers are role models who lead people forward. It's critical that leaders have skills and ability in relating to people. Just like Jesus grew in favor with God and men, leaders should be people who are people who have favor with men in the community that we're living in. Does this person have favor with men? Yeah, and as you look around the community, as you think about elections, what are some of the qualities that you look for in those people you want to elect to leadership? They need to be people who can relate. If they don't relate, they aren't going to be voted for, are they? Leaders need to have that relational skill. Now, I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and this is a passage in which we here stated a whole list of leadership qualities. In my Bible, the heading is, it's qualifications for overseers and deacons. But I'm going to read this and just listen to this list. Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert. Okay, there we talked about that earlier. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about this message and came to this passage again in 1 Timothy, I thought, wow, what a long list. You know, where do I place myself in relationship to each of those qualities? You know, how do I measure up to those qualities? And I thought, you know what? Wow, what a list here for anybody who's a Christ follower. What is it that God wants for us? What is it God wants us to become? And again, I want to highlight that becoming, that growing forward attitude, that understanding that we aren't there yet, but we're growing forward. We're constantly moving forward. We're constantly learning something new and attaining something new. I encourage you, take this list, okay? It looks daunting, doesn't it? It's a huge list, and it is. It's daunting. But take it and allow it to be something that begins to just kind of regurgitate within yourself every day to think about, okay, where am I in regard to this? Okay, God, I want to grow forward and allow it to be something that moves you forward. So that's 1 Timothy. Now, I want to come to a second passage. This is in Philippians, And so from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, we read these words, and it's about imitating Christ and his humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. Jesus' example for us is one of humility. Jesus is God. Jesus was God. But Jesus took on the form of a man, becoming obedient to the Father, being like a servant. What an example to us of what good leadership is like. Good leaders are humble. We could go back to that cycling example. You know those pace setters? They're humble people. They're doing it for someone else. Great leaders, that's how they work. Scripture says he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. When we look at leaders, do we see them doing things for their own advantage? It's a good question to ask. It's a good observation to look for in leaders. Those people we elect into office, into public office, how do they take the opportunities they have of leadership? Are they taking them to advance themselves, or are they taking those roles of leadership to care for us as servants? An important question. Now, pictures out of the Olympics. Great leaders. Simone Biles. Simone Biles has been considered the greatest gymnast ever. That's what they came into the Olympics saying about her. And throughout the Olympics, that's what they have been saying, the greatest gymnast ever. She is the given leader of the women's gymnastics team, the U.S. gymnastics team. She was expected to win individual golds and expected to help the team win the team gold. Simone Biles came to a place in her life where she wasn't able to do what she expected to be able to do. She came to a place in the early parts of her performing as an Olympic gymnast where all of a sudden she felt like, you know, I don't know what's wrong, but there's something wrong with me and I can't perform. And she withdrew herself from competition. Simone Biles, to me, is the picture of an incredible leader. Simone Biles had great wisdom in understanding what was happening to herself. She was not only aware of those around her, but she understood herself and understood that she, all of a sudden, was missing an important piece of who she was that helped her do what she was sent to the Olympics to do. She had great wisdom and humility in taking herself out of the competition. She withdrew herself. When after that event, and we were watching it, and I was watching it, after the event in which she was on the floor exercise, she was doing her routine, and all of a sudden, you know, she did these series of flips, which is amazing. I don't know how they do it, but she was doing it. And you're supposed to end by standing in the corner of the pad, the platform, whatever they're working on. She came down, hit the corner, and she almost fell on her back, but she went off the whole platform. And she came back to the sidelines after that performance, and she took herself out of the competition because she knew there was something wrong with her. She had great wisdom to do that, and she was a great leader in the sense that she gave up the possibility of herself winning these medals. Everyone expected her to. She's the greatest gymnast ever. And she withdrew from the possibility of standing on that platform with those gold medals. She thought more of the team than she did of herself. She's a great leader. She thought more of the team. She knew that if she withdrew and allowed someone else to take her place, the team would have a greater opportunity for success. Simone Biles did not stop being a leader just because she could not perform her duty. She has been the greatest cheerleader and encourager for her team, and her team still sees her as that leader. Simone Biles has shown she's a great leader as she celebrates the medals that her teammates have gotten that she would have gotten if she had stayed and was able to perform as she would. The challenge to us is this. I encourage each one of us to take on the desire to become an Olympic-level spiritual leader. Okay? I'm going to say it again. I encourage all of us to take on the desire to become an Olympic-level spiritual leader. What does that mean? Four things. Number one, become a person who sets high goals. These Olympians didn't get to where they are just because they are great athletes. They got to where they are because they set great goals. They decide, I want to be an Olympian. I want to do this. I want to perform at the highest levels that are possible. They decided that that's what they wanted, but they knew that it was a process of becoming. And if you've watched the Olympics, you've heard these kids, there aren't many old guys, these young people talk about what it has taken. They've talked about coaches. They've talked about parents who have helped them to become. So the first thing they had to do was set high goals. I encourage all of us together today to set high goals in relationship to becoming. Becoming, it's a process, becoming great spiritual leaders and great Christians. 1 Timothy said, it's a noble task. It's a noble task. The second thing, live with the perspective that I'm going to move forward. And we just talked about that. So number one, set high goals. Number two, live with that idea that I'm going to be a person who's moving forward, whether it's in my job or it's as a person or as a Christian. Think, I want to move forward. I want to move ahead. I want to learn more. Lifetime learner. Third piece, always stay humble, no matter how high a position you may attain. Jesus was humble. He could have said, you know, I'm God. I can do whatever I want here. But he stayed humble. He took on the role of a servant. Great leaders, great people are humble people who are servants to those around them. And then the fourth thing, always give God the glory. One last story out of the Olympics for this week. Last night, the 400-meter hurdles was run. The women's 400-meter hurdles. And I don't know about you, but in high school, I ran the quarter mile. And I managed to run a 59 once, and I thought I was doing great. Okay, we're talking the four, and that was just running the 400 meters, the quarter mile. It wasn't 400 meters then, the quarter mile. This is the 400-meter hurdles. So you're jumping over stuff all along the way. There are two Americans who have been at the top of that group of runners for quite a while here. The one is a young lady who has just come on the scene in terms of world records and renown, and her name is Sydney McLaughlin. Last night they ran that. I didn't stay up, I didn't watch it, but this morning I got on YouTube and I watched that race. And this young lady's amazing. She ended up setting a world record at 59.3, I don't know. I think that was it. At any rate, I may not have the numbers right. The previous world record was over a second more than that. So she was amazing. And she ran that race. She won that race. So they do the interviews. Okay? They get these three ladies who have just won gold and silver and bronze. And they're doing these interviews with these ladies. And Cindy McLaughlin, the youngest of the group, 19 years old, said, I've come to the place in my career that it's not about me and it's not about my ability to win and set world records. It's about my relationship with God, and God gets the glory. This young lady is going to be a wonderful, great, incredible leader and Christian leader. Noah, I'm going to point you out. You're an athlete, a young guy among us. And God has blessed you with qualities of physical ability. Doesn't mean you have to be an Olympian. But for Noah, for all of us, each one of us, when God gives us abilities and we grow forward in becoming great at what we do, we need to step back and we need to say, glory to God. To God be the glory. Great things he's done in us and through us. Leadership is important. Not all of you are on a church board or the board for Christian life. But all of us are people who God calls to be leaders in one way or another. And I want to encourage us this morning that God wants us to set high goals and work toward those goals. We're going to close today by singing number 368, I Gave My Life for Thee. This is a hymn that comes from the perspective of Jesus as he talks to us. Let's stand as we sing.